and here on a sponsor exemption, poised to climb to the top of the leaderboard on moving day tomorrow is Michael Block, the story of the PGA Championship last weekend. So let's go back to Blake for Block Talk.
Is that what we're calling it? Block Talk? Block Talk? Block Party? Well, I didn't have a problem with Michael Block until everyone started loving him.
That seems to be a problem for this time slot.
And I guess I really didn't have a problem until Jim Nance tried to say that there were two champions over the weekend, Brooks Koepka and Michael Block, because he stole the hearts of Americans. And then he goes on a podcast with Bob Minnery, and he basically said, here, let me play the cut. He's on that Sunday of the PGA Championship, he plays with Rory McIlroy. And Rory, obviously, huge name, really long off of the tee.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, you know that. And he says that if he had Rory's distance, he would be one of the elite golfers in the world. Here's what he said.
You know, I was pretty intimidated for a while. I pretty much just looked at his shoes and made sure that I didn't look up and realize I'm really playing with Rory McIlroy. And then I definitely, I mean, if you watch on the first tee, I mean, I literally turn around. Mm-hmm. I don't watch that ball flight. I don't watch that guy just absolutely hit it freaking 60 yards by me, right? I mean, it's intimidating. So
what's the difference between his game on, would you, I mean, you'd assume that Rory's a better golfer than you are?
He's a lot longer than I am. That's what it is.
Okay, so that the length is the big thing.
Oh, my God. What I would shoot from where Rory hits it would be stupid. I think I'd be one of the best players in the world.
How, really?
Hands down. Oh, if I had that stupid length, all day, my iron game, wedge game, around the greens, and my putting is world class. It's just that the distance, I'm not tour distance. You know, these guys are hitting it 300 yards in the air. I hit it 275 in the air, maybe. Here when it's hot, I'm gonna hit that ball out here. You know, I'm gonna get it on the ground at like 260 and roll it out to 320 out here, but.
So when they have all the dots that they show, they're all up there. Oh, yeah. You're the one that's back there.
Yeah, I'm that one back there. Yeah,
we got to fix. We got to fix that by tomorrow.
Anyway, so if he's saying, yeah, if I could,
he's
hit
elite.
He's world class. So people,
he has an elite short game. He has one of the best short games in the entire world. Because if it was a little longer, if his long game was a little better, he'd be competing for every major.
So the first two things I think of are, one, and I am obviously golf dummy, I always hear that, like, the reason that the long drive competition exists is because you can find guys, I don't know, like Blake was in his prime, that can go out there and just mash at an almost tour level off the tee. But then, you know, the finer points of the game, everything else is what separates the true, you know, the professionals from the taxpayers, or whatever the quote is. And he seems to be saying the opposite of that. Now, the second thing I would say is, I don't know, how many college players of any sport, if you said, you know, if you gave me Steph Curry or Patrick Mahomes is, and then insert one thing, I'd be a really good pro. But yeah.
Yeah.
That's obvious.
And that's what stuck out to me is, Jake, how many guys like this do you come across that want to tell you, if I didn't get hurt in high school, I'd be pro?
Oh, or, I mean, that's kind of what he's doing.
They're just one thing away from, being in the pros. And that's what stuck out to me, is this is just braggadocious golf guy. And the thing is like, when you're America's darling, they want you to play the all shucks role where I'm just happy to be here.
Well, in that sense, what he's doing is kind of awesome.
Okay, you're right. But
they want him to be Forrest Gump, and instead he's like, I've been wronged by my driver. Otherwise, I would be Tiger Woods.
Okay. So now that everybody thinks he's cocky and hates him, we should love him now?
It's going to be tough to sort through this.
Hold on. Okay, but if you're going to do that, you're going to open yourself up to this. You say that you're world-class around the green, right? Somebody tracked his one of the holes yesterday. It was a 195-yard par 3.
Then that should be the easiest hole in the world for him.
Yes, because he's world class, right? His approach shot does not reach the green. His next shot hits into the short side bunker. His next shot goes into the backside bunker.
Oh!
Then he gets out of the sand and then putts it home for a triple bogey.
Speaking of
so
how...
So if you're going to say yeah, you're world class, shouldn't you nail these par threes?
I love it.
Anyway.
But once you put that out there, now you're asking people to track one of your short shots.
And also, the other thing is the way that he said it, it made it sound like he's saying he's a better golfer than Rory.
Yes.
Right. I mean, Rory can get along.
It's not just that he's saying he's great. It's that, hey, I'm as good or better than these other guys. It's just this one thing.
So in trying to find this audio of Michael Block saying that he's better than Rory, I, from the school of Dan, don't listen to the 30-second clip. Go through the whole 30 minutes. That's that guy's personality of really, really cocky. The first person.
Dude, he's a golfer.
I know.
Tell me the humble golfer that is a
like that's
even
a really
the club
good
pro because the club pro deals with a bunch of people like us.
He's better than 99% not of the public. He's better than 99% of the golfers that he interacts with. Right, so he's going to be this way.
Yeah, but we've seen people like Romo. Romo is fantastic, but he's not professional level fantastic. It's a different game. Well, in listening to this dude talk for 30 minutes, I thought of one other person that he sounds like, and that's CJ Wilson.
Oh, that's not ever good.
So, you two guys, Dan and Jake, when you're sick of hearing this guy talk, you tell me. But until then, here's his best of.
I was just doing some interviews, and they told me that I have I have Ryder Cup points. I had a great conversation with Zach Johnson actually the last couple of days, which is really cool. So if you might have seen it, when Brooks was out there getting his trophy, they actually handed me the trophy first. I think that, and then the up and down on 18, where I had a lot going there that I didn't know about. But that up and down on 18 was pretty epic, and I've played thousands of tournaments. For that to happen at that moment, and that crowd was on board with me 100%. They're cheering for me before I even hit. They're on their feet cheering, knowing that I'm up on the tee now. Yeah. And it is packed. So they quiet down. I hit the shot, and they start cheering again. My Nike connections, they contacted me. I don't know how he did, but Nike yesterday, they contacted me, and they're like, you know Michael texts you, right? I literally have 10,000 texts, and I'm just sitting there because half of them are just random numbers, right? Half of them are people, like I see the names and whatever else, and I don't have Michael Jordan in my contacts. So I was in a pretty good spot after just the first round. It's insane. Oh. Yeah, I mean, I went straight from New York. I thought I was going home. Then the next day here, I'm on a private jet to Dallas. I'm here. Yesterday, they invite me to be in Germany next week at the Porsche Masters. I'm not going. I can't. You know, it's just I got so much on my plate. I enjoy my life too much. Jordan Spieth and Ricky all coming up to me. Everybody's coming up to me over there. Dude, I'm playing against the top 100 players in the world. Dude, and so I'm sitting there. If you see it, I'm sitting there. I got a beer and I got a Casamigos just chilling. I don't know. 30 minutes later, an email comes through that the RBC Canadian Open has invited me.
Yeah,
Then
are you done?
The next day, I'm invited to the Swiss
Dude,
Masters.
I got a beer.
How long is his bragging montage?
Oh, we're about halfway done.
Okay, now I'm done. TV. Yeah, Cool. That's cool.
And I guess there were like six.
It is funny.
That's America's darling right there.
Yeah.
People definitely would prefer that he do the, this is just magical, and I want to soak it all up. And, you know, a big part of the problem is he doesn't have a wife and kids.
He does.
He does. Okay. Then that makes it worse. Because when guy gets, or, you know, I guess any athlete gets, he got wife and kids.
Gay.
When you have the wife and kids and something like this happens, some anomalous magical sports story, you feel like you have to make it about them. Do you know what I mean? Like when people ask you questions, you just have to, even if you don't mean it, you have to give the, I just can't believe my son was able to see this. And the support that my wife
all the credit goes to her, really.
You know, she's really my, she's the real pro.
Right.
You know, that's what you have to do.
I couldn't have done it without her.
Exactly. That's what you have to do when you have family. So I'm surprised that this guy doesn't, because when you don't have family, then you're just like, dude, I had a beer at Casamigos. They're asking me to come to the Germany. At the German Masters sponsored by Porsche. Can't even make it.
That's funny you say that, because after he ties for 15th in the PGA Championship, he's all like, yeah, doing interviews. Yeah, private jet. When he shoots a 90 or whatever he did yesterday, this was his response.
The experience I had last week was next level, right? And so today, coming out here and not having my game at all and having a lot of bad luck or whatever you might call it, just call it golf. And so it is what it is. And at the same time, I sat there and I thought about it. I said, I'm going to see my boys tomorrow night.
Oh, my God.
Is he crying?
Hold on.
I know you've had a busy couple of days, a lot of interviews, a lot of stress. Just how much did fatigue play a part in this today?
I don't know. I saw this golf course one time. It is what it is. Like I said, I'm not disappointed. I'm going to go home tomorrow night. God, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Take your time.
You got this.
He's stroking his hair. Take your time, little buddy.
Okay. I'm looking forward to coming out tomorrow, playing a great round, giving it everything I have. I've shot 58, and I've shot a 59 in my life.
There he is. Come on back, buddy.
And since what I had today, I wouldn't be surprised if I did it. So
yeah, I bet you'll shoot a 58 today.
Wouldn't be surprised if I set a course record tomorrow.
Sounds like he packed an excuse club in his bag as well.
Seen it one time.
Unlucky. Some might say unlucky day. I mean, who's?
I just call it golf, man.
Who's to? Most are saying it's unlucky, but I just say it's the way it is. I mean. I did only see. I barely looked at this course, but you know.
But tonight,
last year, I've always had the game kind of casual, having fun with the boys type of guy. You know, I shot 70-70, so I made the cut by a lot, which was right, insane. Right.
But tonight,
club pro, I think it was like the first time in boys. 30 years at a club pro.
All right, coming up next, let's sesh it up a little bit.
My stuff on that. It was cool. So at the beginning, they picked me up.
This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket. Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership, KTCK AM Dallas-Fort Worth, KTCK FM Flower Mound, a Cumulus Media station.